Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our time on Facebook Live and listening in on the website or on the podcast afterwards. Grace and peace be with you, and hello, everyone. In these times of fear, we turn our attention away from ourselves and on to the God who is in control of all things and who loves us unconditionally. For all of us, our world has been turned upside down. Who would have thought I would be preaching alone in a church building with no congregation? But it's good to know that there are people out there and that we are still connected in meaningful ways. It doesn't look like things will ever be the same again after this global health crisis. It's surely a time of great disruption, as well as one of suffering for so many. But times of suffering pull people together into oneness and lead to the discovery of great love. We can see in this time of crisis that we all truly belong together because we are being brought together in so many ways. We are one and we need each other. Today in worship we remember that we are all like sheep in the ever-present care of the great shepherd of us all. Let's join together in saying the words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And let us join together in prayer. Dear God, Saviour and Shepherd of your people, we are gathered to praise you, to encourage one another, and to seek your will for our lives, for our church, and for our world. Open our eyes to the traffic between heaven and earth, and to the wonder of your call to live in the light, through him who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. In this time of crisis across the world, we come knowing how far short we come in living in that light. Forgive us for our past failings, especially our selfishness and our disinterest in the needs of others. Forgive us, Lord, our critical words and uncaring actions, and the thoughts which lie behind them. God of mercy, as we own up to our own shortcomings and not deny them, we can know that you have already forgiven us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who brings us life. And so we give ourselves once more into your merciful arms. Replenish our hearts with the gracious outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that we might know ourselves loved as we are and equipped to love as we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And join me in saying together the collect for this fourth Sunday in Lent and Mothering Sunday. Almighty God, you have delivered us from the death of sin and raised us to new life in your love through our Saviour Jesus Christ. And in baptism you have made us one with him, so that now we are the children of light. Grant that we may walk in his light and show forth your glory in the world through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. our readings for today. First reading from the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, from verses 1 to 13. Let's listen for the word of God. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Normally at this point in the service, we might sing together. But we haven't quite worked out the copyright issues involved in that, so there'll be no singing, at least here today. But feel free to sing as you watch on Facebook Live or on the website. Please feel free to post a prayer or a comment as well during this time. Let's pray together. Lord God and loving Father, may your Spirit shine a light in our hearts as we seek your word and your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. The New Testament reading for today is from John chapter 9. I don't propose to read it, but I might refer to it in this time of reflection. Times of crisis reveal our true colours. In this time of trial and global suffering, there is understandably much fear. There's a sense that things are running out of control. People are panic buying, fearful that we might run out of toilet paper. Heaven forbid. Supermarket shelves are being raided in an attempt to keep some sort of control over a situation that's largely out with our control. Of course, we need to be careful about spreading the virus, and we must follow the latest health advice about cleanliness and social distancing. But do we really need to stockpile more than we need? Isn't there enough to go around if everyone takes what they need? If we take more than we need, what effect will that have on those less fortunate than ourselves? It's in times of crisis and trial that we see humanity's true colour surface, when our true character is revealed. It seems to be human nature that we look for someone to blame in difficult times. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, there is a reading for today of a man born blind. And the Pharisees see him and they say to Jesus, "Whose fault is it that this man was born blind?" Jesus doesn't give in to the blame game. He simply says that the man's blindness means that the power of God could be seen in him. The power of God in a poor blind man. Time and time again, it's the poor and the needy whom God lifts up. And you may know the end of that story and how Jesus used it to teach us that he came to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they can see that they are in fact blind. Christ brought a new light to humanity. It's that light that is seeking to spread in these days. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the early church soon realized that Christ was the light by which we see all things. Even still, some today are wondering, why have we got this virus plaguing us? Whose fault is it? Rather than trust in the good that might be seen from the crisis, it can be too easy and tempting to be paralyzed by a mood of fear and scarcity, or to seek to point the finger of blame away from ourselves onto something or someone else. In the book of Samuel, Saul was the first king of Israel. In so many ways, he ruled from a place of fear. He was jealous of others. He tried to rule with an iron fist. His son Jonathan lived with a different spirit, it seems. He once said that the Lord could win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Jonathan saved Israel on at least one occasion. Saul didn't like that and even wanted his own son killed. Jonathan was only saved by the people who could see that what Jonathan had done was good. In the time of crisis in Israel's history, both Saul and Jonathan showed their true character. Saul was found wanting, whereas his son Jonathan chose to listen to God and to find courage to do the right thing, the kind thing, the loving thing, the saving thing. Love always means going beyond yourself to otherness. It takes two to love. There has to be the lover and the beloved. And as the Bible puts it, it's love that overcomes fear. I wonder, in this time of crisis, what our true colours will be revealed as. We can see good happening all around us in the drive of so many people to help other human beings in this time of crisis. People are going out of their way to sign up to help neighbours, to deliver shopping, to chat on the phone. Healthcare workers putting themselves on the line, working extra shifts. Pharmacists, researchers, delivery drivers and the like, all giving from the pool of love in their hearts. Truly, suffering pulls people together and love makes it bearable. God tells Samuel the prophet that the Lord looks at the heart. He doesn't judge by outer appearance. Jesus modeled the perfect human life with a heart full of love. Love that endured all the suffering one can imagine. Love that endured even unto death. Jesus is God with us in suffering. And it's how we love that matters. It's love that is answering the fear that is rampant today. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul tells the early Christians that even though their hearts were once full of darkness, now they are full of light from the Lord. And their behavior should show that, because the light within them produces only what is good and right and true. He urges them to try to find out what pleases the Lord. And how else can we do that but to listen? When we take time to listen to the voice of love within us, we can find there a stillness, a calmness, a rest, a peace, a trust that we might not find anywhere else. It's why the prophet Samuel reminds the newly crowned King Saul, who bashed on with his own ideas of trying to fix things and control things, that listening to God is much better than offering the sacrifice of animals. In the early life of David, the shepherd boy, we see he had spent time listening to God as he cared for the sheep and protected them from lions and bears. He knew who his true shepherd was. His true character was formed and shaped in times of solitude and times of caring, as well as in times of crisis. And his heart learned to listen to the voice of love within. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There's an old gospel hymn that puts it like this: the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. And the God of the light is still God in the darkness. David knew that. He had lived it. In looking after the sheep, in the ordinary caring acts of every day, he learned how to love and his character grew. So when it came for the new king of Israel to be anointed, David was the one whose true colours matched up to what the Lord was looking for. He was the one that went on to have the courage to stand up to the giant who towered above all Israel like a contagious disease, striking fear in the heart. But David knew the battle belonged to God. And as a man after God's heart, the young David shows us that God is love and his way is love. Love that is sacrificial in nature, willing to give itself to the other and for the other. That's what this global challenge is preparing us for. We're being prepared for such a love as this. Love that is the essence of our true nature, our true colour. Love who comes to us right now and whispers to us, I am with you, even in the darkest valley. Listen to your heart. Listen to the voice of love within. And let that love cast out all fear. Let your true colours be seen in the light of Christ, who is your life and who is with you forever. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Bible encourages us that the Lord is near, therefore we are not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to present our requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Today is a national day of prayer and action regarding the coronavirus, COVID-19 disease. And we're encouraged today to set aside time to pray for the world at this time, for each other, and to light a candle at 7 o'clock tonight and to put it in a prominent position in your house. Let's pray together. And some of the words I will use come from the prayer prepared especially for this National Day of Prayer by Pete Gregg and 24/7 Prayer. Let's pray to God. Thank you, God, for your gift to us of life, for the beauty of creation, for the companionship of friends and family, for the kindness of strangers. Thank you for the many ways in which we have seen in these last days people caring for one another, countries setting aside differences in order to help one another, neighbours becoming friends again or for the first time, people going the extra mile to try to protect us and keep us safe. Thank you that you, God, inspire people to acts of compassion and sacrifice. Thank you that in Christ Jesus you have shown the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you too, God, for the gift of modern technology and the ways we can make use of it to stay connected, even when we are apart. Lord of peace. We remember those living in coronavirus hotspots and those currently in isolation. May they know your presence in their isolation, your peace in their turmoil, and your patience in their waiting. May your mercy come quickly to meet them. God of all comfort and counsel, we pray for those who are grieving, reeling from the sudden loss of loved ones. May they find your fellowship in their suffering, your comfort in their loss, and your hope in their despair. We name before you those known to us who are vulnerable and scared, the frail, the sick, and the elderly. Healing God, we pray for all medical professionals dealing daily with the intense pressures of this crisis. Grant them resilience in weariness, discernment in diagnosis, and compassion upon compassion as they care. We thank you for the army of researchers working steadily and quietly towards a cure. Give them clarity and breakthrough today. O Lord, would you rise above this present darkness as the Sun of Righteousness with healing in your rays. God of all wisdom, we pray for our leaders, the World Health Organization, national governments and local leaders too, heads of schools, hospitals and other institutions. Since you have positioned these people in public service for this hour, we ask you to grant them wisdom beyond their own wisdom to contain this virus, faith beyond their own faith to fight this fear, and strength beyond their own strength to sustain vital institutions through this time of turmoil. Lastly, we pray for ourselves, Lord, that we might in some way be the answer to our own prayers, that we might love as we can all the people we can, in all the ways that we can, in all the places that we can, at all the times that we can. Hear us, Lord, as we sum up all our prayers in the words which Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today, for being here, if not in body, but in spirit. We're really just learning this way of being together, and I'm sure we'll get better at it. Please follow the latest health advice. Watch out for your neighbours if you can. Keep in touch in whatever ways you can. Remember those who don't have the internet but who are at the end of a phone. And we hope, God willing, to do this again next week, and hope you can tune in then, if not before. And so now may the Lord God Almighty, who loves you and protects you, may Jesus Christ, his Son, who died for you, save you, and may the Holy Spirit, who broods over you, fill you with his presence, intercede for you, and in you for others at this time. And the blessing of God surround you this day and always. Amen.